You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Very recently, Tenaga Nasional Berhad's wholly owned subsidiary, Vantage RE Limited, or Vantage RE, has completed a £275 million financing exercise through refinancing of its Vantage Solar UK, or VSUK, portfolio of solar power plants in the United Kingdom. This comprises a bunch of ground-mounted solar PV plants located across England and Wales, and is expected to help or assist the bottom line of the NB group and try to see if they can venture even further into solar panels and the business of ESG in the country as well as around the world. The refinancing exercise is, of course, another contribution by Vantage RE to the solar portfolio under TNB's management. And since assuming management control of VSUK's portfolio last year, the portfolio's EBITDA performance has improved around 28% from 30.3 million British pounds in 2020 to 38.7 million British pounds in 2021. Vantage RE is, of course, the subsidiary wholly owned by TNB, operated and managed a bunch of renewable energy assets in the United Kingdom as well as in Europe, and they are headquartered in London. Joining us for this interview is Vian Davies, the CEO of Vantage RE Limited. Vian, first off, can you share with us an overview of Vantage, its operations and your current portfolio, and how does this relate to TNB and its ESG efforts beyond Malaysian borders?
So Vantage was launched in July 2021. It is all about being an owner and an operator of a large renewable portfolio here in the United Kingdom. And that revenue portfolio is backed by long-term contracts, so it's fairly stable and nice and secure. Secondly, it's about providing those stable dividend yields to our shareholder, TNB. And thirdly, it's about, and I guess this is really important, this is about being an active asset manager of that renewable portfolio. And this plays to the strength of TNB, which is all about really trying to drive initiatives, trying to add additional value to that portfolio. Fourthly, it's about being an area of knowledge transfer. So the UK is one of the most advanced renewables markets in the world. And we lead in the area of offshore wind, and we're becoming very active in the area of battery storage. So this is a great opportunity for TNB to learn about these technologies, and then we can think about how we can transport those back to Malaysia and help TNB be more successful in Malaysia and also Southeast Asia. And then finally, and I guess arguably most importantly, it's about being the driving force behind the ESG agenda of TNB in here in the UK and Europe. And obviously, we do that by investing in renewable energy projects. Now, the portfolio that we operate here in the UK is quite large. Our solar portfolio is 365 megawatts. It runs across the whole of Wales and England. And it's obviously located in the areas of higher irradiance. Our wind portfolio is a little bit smaller in terms of installed capacity, but it has a huge footprint. It goes all across England, it goes all across Wales, and it goes to the far north of Scotland. And of course, if you've ever visited Scotland, you know it's quite cold there, but it's also quite windy, and that's great for wind production. And then finally, in October of this year, we actually made our first entry into the offshore market. We acquired a 49% stake in the Blythe Offshore Wind Farm. That's a joint venture with EDF Energy. That's located in the northeast of England, an area where it's very, very windy. But the interesting thing about that project is it's got five turbines located offshore, and those turbines are 191 meters high, 164 meters wide. That's twice the width of an A380, so really impressive asset. And TNB has got the opportunity to learn about these technologies and think about how that it can apply that learning in its home market.
Is the venture more RE projects globally a reflection on the rising prices such as oil, gas, coal and the likes?
I don't think so. I think it's more to do with decarbonisation. You know, as the world sort of gets interested about decarbonisation, I think that's driving the growth in renewable energy. And I think the important thing we have to remember is that renewable energy has some additional benefits when you compare it to conventional generation. For example, it has low operating costs. It doesn't have any fuel costs. And also, it's actually a very reliable form of energy, albeit intermittent. But I think the important thing is we do need to remember that from a TNB's perspective, we're committed to growing and advancing in a sustainable way. And we want to do that by investing in renewable energy projects. But when you think about the Malaysian market, I think we all know and we understand that there are limited opportunities in Malaysia for renewable energy projects. So investing in the international renewable energy business is an important part of TNB's strategy. And associated with that, what TNB is doing is trying to pick up its ESG agenda by using Vantage as the driving force in the UK and Europe. But one thing I really want to bring to your attention is that, you know, when we think about global warming, I think it's important for us to remember that the actions in one country have a profound implication for the lives of people living in another country. And the actions that we take in one country have an implication for the environment many, many thousands of miles away. So when TNB invests in the UK and Europe, it's really about trying to decarbonize, and it's all about trying to reduce those emissions into the atmosphere, which would contribute to global warming. And from the UK perspective, the portfolio that we operate displaces around 260,000 tons of CO2 that would otherwise go into the atmosphere. And actually, if we achieve our targets by the end of 2022, we'll be displacing around 500,000 to 600,000 tons of carbon dioxide that would have otherwise gone into the atmosphere. Secondly, I think when we talk about environmental and social governance, it's really important that we often forget the G, the governance bit. And actually, Vantage has to invest wisely. We need to deliver the returns that we've promised to the group and to our shareholders. And the UK is a relatively safe market to do that. The UK has, you know, extensive experience of renewables. And so far, the investments we've made, and we've been in this market since 2017, TNB's been successful here since 2017, and the investments we've made have shown solid returns, and therefore we're confident that this is a good market to grow in. And finally, I think we do need to remember that the UK and Europe are amongst the most advanced markets in the world. The UK is leading from an offshore wind perspective. We have around 11 gigawatts of offshore wind, and battery storage, which is becoming more and more important as we get a higher penetration of renewables. Battery storage is also an important part of the energy mix here in the UK. And we expect that we'll have something like 2 gigawatts by the end of this year in battery storage. So these technologies are great opportunities for TNB to learn about these and think about how it applies them in their home markets.
The scale of your RE ambition is huge. How achievable is this for Vantage and TNB?
Well, I think you've said something very true there. You know, 8,300 megawatts, which is what TNB is targeting for by 2025, definitely that is a challenge. But we're making some great progress on that. And my priority, leading the Vantage team here in the UK, is really to do three things. Firstly, it's about driving growth in renewable energy. And I'm targeting somewhere between 2 to 2.5 gigawatts of installed renewable capacity here in the United Kingdom and hopefully Europe. Secondly, it's about delivering those promises that I spoke about earlier on to the group and to our shareholders. And Vantage is part of the new energy division of TNB. And that division is targeting somewhere between 20% or around 20% of the group's operating profits by 2025. And Vantage obviously has a material role to play in that. And then finally, it's about how we go about executing that strategy. We're trying to execute that aligned with the values of TNB, but also I want to make sure that we have a real professional approach when it comes to managing health, safety, and the environment. Now, we've made some excellent progress so far. We actually came up with the Vantage strategy and got agreement by the board in March 2021. We launched Vantage in July 2021, and actually around the same time, we acquired another small wind asset, and we've bolted that onto our portfolio, and we're driving additional synergies by having that in the portfolio. We also have taken over responsibility for the management of our large solar portfolio, and we're seeing some added value that TNB is making in running that portfolio itself. We then made the acquisition of Blyde Offshore Wind Farm, a 49% shareholding in a wind farm with EDF Energy. We refinanced our solar portfolio, $275 million of refinancing. We announced that last week, and that's put us in a much stronger position for growth. And finally, we're progressing actually a very interesting onshore wind portfolio. Hopefully, we'll be making some announcements in the coming weeks, and maybe we'll have a conversation around that. And if we achieve that, we will have around 530 megawatts of installed capacity here in the UK. And if we achieve our target by the end of this year, we'll have around 800 megawatts of installed capacity. So a real great effort from the TNB team, I believe.
Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more Vantage RE from the UK. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line Van Davies, dialing in from London. We're talking about Vantage RE, the wholly owned subsidiary of TNB. Vian, let's talk a little bit more about some of the challenges in sourcing for RE projects globally. What are the things that would be some of the priorities for Vantage and for TNB?
Another very interesting question. And I think the way I would look at this would be you have to think about projects in two camps. You've got either operational assets, so assets are there now and that they're generating electricity, or you've got projects in development, maybe they're early stage development or they're late stage development going into construction. And I think you have to think about those two differently. So for operational projects, the appetite for environmental and social governance investments has just, you know, ballooned. And, you know, the availability of projects hasn't perhaps kept pace with that. So what we're actually seeing here in the UK and Europe, and I think globally, is we're seeing huge competition for these types of operational assets. So the challenge for us, Vantage and TNB, is to not only find those projects, but make sure they're of the right quality. And I think this is where TNB does have an advantage. We are a utility. We understand transmission. We understand distribution. We understand generation. And actually, when you put all of those three things together, it enables us to quickly decide, is that asset a good asset? Would it work well if we put it into our portfolio? Will we be able to drive some additional synergies? So that's what we're focused on operational assets. With regards to development assets, it's slightly different, development projects. That's all about, have they got the land? Have they got the grid? And how are they progressing in planning? And planning actually nowadays is quite a complex and lengthy process. And it has to take into account the environmental factors as well as the implications for the community. So therefore, you know, that is quite a challenge to find projects that are going to pop out of that planning process nice and smoothly. And the other thing that you need to consider is the grid. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, you know, that the grid was just basically running with large thermal type generation assets. And it was certainly designed for having large generation assets that were then generating and going into the transmission system, then were going down into the distribution system, and then ultimately supplying the consumers at a lower voltage. The reality is, with all of the distributed generation assets coming on board, which is what renewable energy assets are all about, you've got all of these smaller assets that are generating electricity at the lower voltages, pushing them into the distribution system, pushing them into the transmission system, and the power flow is going a different way. So these transmission and distribution networks are having huge investment, and it can be a challenge to find the right projects that are going to get a good grid connection, and that grid connection is going to be at a time that means that this project is going to be an economic project. So that is a real challenge. And finally, whether you're looking at operational projects or whether you're looking at projects that are in development, I think it's important to understand the revenue stream and make sure that you've got long-term contracted revenues and you've got some certainty around that. And Some governments have been pretty good at putting those mechanisms in place. For example, the UK had the Renewable Obligation Certificate in 2002, the Feed-in Tariff in 2010. Both of those schemes now sort of petered out. We now have what's called the CFD, which is the Contract for Difference. Again, another form of revenue certainty for companies that want to spend a lot of money investing in renewable technologies. But some countries have been slow to act in putting those incentives in place. And also, you might want to contract with, say, a large industrial consumer or a large commercial consumer. And for that to happen, you need a very open market and open network. And in some countries, that just isn't working very, very well. So that is a challenge globally. And then finally, what do we look for? We look for two things. Vantage looks for two things. From a commercial perspective, we want to make sure that we've got a clear business model, and we want to make sure that we've got some certainty on revenue streams. From a technical perspective, we obviously want good quality assets, and we want to make sure that those assets are connected to the grid and have a solid grid connection, and they also have the leases that are secured, so we don't have any issues there. So that's what we're focused on.
How does the investment landscape going to shape up when it comes to incentives and tariffs, both in the UK as well as in Europe? Do you feel that you're getting the right support in terms of investment into RE? And what do you think Malaysia could learn from this?
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier on, actually, about the UK and Europe being amongst the most advanced markets in the world. And I think that means that TMB does have an opportunity to learn about the technologies and the markets that we have here in place. But I think there are a number of four things really that are learning points going forward. The first thing is around market incentives. So the UK introduced, as I said earlier on, the renewable obligation certificates in 2002, the feed-in tariffs in 2010. And those subsidies are the subsidies that our existing asset portfolio is built around. And those schemes were hugely successful in really getting renewables off the ground. It really started that flywheel spinning, and they were responsible, actually, for delivering around 30,000 megawatts of installed capacity. So that really is a learning point around making sure you've got the right incentive mechanisms. The second one is about the maturing of the supply chain, because this goes hand in hand with the incentives. The incentives isn't just about developing and building renewables. It's about building that capability in the country. It's about developing the supply chain so that it's able to drive down the cost. And we've seen that happen in the UK. We've seen this maturing of the supply chain result in solar and onshore wind being amongst the cheapest forms of new generation capacity now, and even offshore wind, that's a very expensive technology in those early days, is now actually being built pretty much without subsidies. The third point is around having price certainty. And whilst subsidies have reduced over time, I mentioned about the renewable obligation certificates and the feed-in tariffs sort of tapering down over the last few years. The UK government has continued to encourage this renewable energy development by having new schemes being introduced, like, for example, the CFD schemes, the Contract for Difference schemes, and that provides certainty for investors going forward. It also, though, interestingly, has provided good value to customers or consumers, because actually the prices that are being awarded under the CFD schemes for the building of new renewable projects and not that much different to the wholesale energy prices. So, you know, no subsidy from a consumer perspective. And then finally, it's about having a robust network and a strong or stable regulatory framework. And from a stable regulatory framework perspective, the UK, I think, has been pretty good. We've had no retrospective changes to tariffs. We've had no changes to policies that are really lost the confidence of investors, so I think that's really good. And from a network perspective, the way that the UK network is reinforced and openly communicated about where the money will be spent on the networks to improve the performance of it has really given renewable energy developers the confidence to actually go out there, develop projects, and have some certainty around what the revenues will look like and what the generation from those assets will look like. So I think that is the sort of final learning point, really, from the UK market.
Of course, ESG is the main driver for this business pillar that is being set up by Vantage. And this does allow for TNB's growth to continue to march on beyond Malaysian borders. So what are the plans in the next 6 to 12 months when it comes to the business plan for Vantage? And what could investors be looking forward to?
So when I was putting together the strategy for Vantage back in March 2021, my team carefully looked at the depth and the liquidity of the renewable energy market here in the UK. And what I mean by that simply is the availability of projects. And when you look at that, and then you look at our targets that we've got, 2 to 2.5 gigawatts, you realise, well, that can't all be achieved within the UK. We need to do something different. Now, we've made some excellent progress. As I said, we've got a large solar portfolio here in the UK. We've got a wind portfolio that is growing rapidly, and we've entered the offshore market. But there's still a need to diversify that portfolio more. And when you look at our solar and our wind portfolio and offshore and onshore combined, our solar portfolio still represents around 80%, just a bit more actually, 80% of our total installed capacity. And we need a better balance between solar and wind. So we definitely focused on trying to sort of improve that diversification, which means you're going to see more wind coming into the portfolio. But also we want to make sure we diversify it further by things like different revenue streams, not having it all under the, for example, the renewable obligation certificate or the feed-in tariffs, but looking for new ways of developing and bringing projects on board with different revenue streams. We're looking at different technologies. We bought offshore into the portfolio, but we're now looking at battery storage and what can we do around that. And finally, we want to actually introduce some new markets into the Vantage portfolio. So at the moment, we're only the UK, but we want to go broader than that. We want to look at new markets. So I'm focused on three things, really. Firstly, it's about increasing our capacity in renewable obligation and feed-in tariff projects, those projects that we're very familiar with at this point in time, those subsidies, but also the technologies that we're familiar with, large utility-scale solar and onshore wind. So that's my first priority. My second priority is all about diversifying those revenue streams, thinking about whether we can do things differently and not just having renewable obligation or feed-in tariffs. Can we actually have some projects that have got long-term revenue streams from things like corporate PPAs? Can we have them from things like the CFD schemes that we're seeing at this point in time? You know, is there room for us to bring some of those into the portfolio? So I'm definitely looking at that. I'm also looking at other technologies, as I said, battery storage. And, you know, what more can we do around that is a key thing. And whether we can perhaps have hybrid solutions, you know, can we have wind and solar coupled together in similar projects? It is another area. And then finally, the last piece of really the strategy that I'm focused on is diversifying our portfolio with more strategic technologies. So offshore wind is one, but, you know, battery storage is another. And we're still keeping our eye open on things like hydrogen and those types of things. We're not there yet, but we're keeping a watching brief on those sort of technologies. And then markets. And markets is an interesting thing. And I think, you know, your viewers can look forward to seeing us enter some of the European markets. We hope to do that sort of later this year. We can sort of get our ducks aligned on that. And I think Europe really gives a good opportunity to Vantage. Firstly, it's got huge renewable energy targets, and actually they're below those renewable targets. So there's some headroom for us to go for. There's an opportunity for us to find projects and find operational assets there. Secondly, it will allow us to have a smoother growth profile. You know, when the UK is perhaps in a boom cycle, another country might not be. And when that country perhaps is having a lot of renewables being built out, maybe the UK isn't. So if we're operational in two or three markets, we have the opportunity to have a much smoother trajectory in terms of the renewable capacity we want to bring on board. And then finally, it's about those diversification of those revenue streams. You know, in the UK market, we might have assets under the CFD scheme, for example. And in another market, we might have assets under a different revenue stream. So that diversification is always a good thing to have. But what I will say is, you know, when we go to Europe, rather than if we go to Europe, I think we'll do it in a very sensible and structured way. We do not want to be pushed into markets. We don't want to find ourselves going to markets as a late maneuver into those markets and not achieving the growth or not achieving the return expectations that we would like. We want to be very careful about selecting those markets. And when we go there, we won't go in a scattergun approach. We'll go to one market, we'll enter that market, probably with an experienced partner. We'll then build capacity in that market, and then we'll build out from there. And we'll always keep the UK as the centre hub of expertise, so we're not duplicating resources across the portfolio. So I think there's some interesting things on the technology side and on the market side for your viewers to look forward to.
All right. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. That was Vian Davis, the CEO of Vantage RE Limited, dialing in from London. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad over there. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.